Hi there, and welcome to our podcast, Mindfulness at Work. I'm Cara Pollard.
Hi, welcome to Mindfulness at Work. I have two fabulous guests here today that I can't wait to talk to because they are just a wealth of knowledge. So they are co-podcasters from the podcast Hot Flashes, Cool Topics. It's a podcast that focuses on women in midlife between the ages of 45 or 70. And at any age, you probably would benefit from some of the topics they discuss. So these two fabulous women are Bridget Garrett. Bridget is the former elementary school teacher, and she's a mom of two. She's also a small-time actor, and now she's a podcaster with her dear friend, Colleen Rosenblum. They wanted to start this podcast because they wanted to be the umbrella of topics that relate to midlife and women in conversation in a conversational style to ensure that their voices are heard. And speaking of Colleen, Colleen Rosenblum is the co-host of the podcast Hot Flashes, Cool Topics, and she started her professional career as an attorney. Then she turned to a stay-at-home mom and a Pilates instructor, now podcaster. I think you have just about everything covered, Colleen.
I get bored easily.
Yes. So you are married to your high school sweetheart, and you also have two beautiful daughters and two adored pets. Yeah. So welcome to the podcast Mindfulness at Work. I'm so excited and thrilled to have you both here. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you. We're excited. Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd start just out the gate by asking you guys one of your best takeaways or the biggest things that you maybe have learned that you can apply to your own life and that you hope some of your guests can apply to their life from some of the vast array of talented experts that you've hosted on your podcast.
I would say it's a mindset. Mindfulness for you is part of your title. I would say it's a mindset. For us, we noticed that when you reframe your thinking and start looking forward, as opposed to maybe what you've lost, as a lot of women think, I'm an empty nester, my kids no longer need me, maybe my career, I've hit the pinnacle of my career, and now I don't necessarily enjoy going to work every day. Reframing your mind to think about, what do I have to look forward to? Because we have learned that midlife is just that, it's the middle of your life. What do you want to do with the next 30 years of your life? Mm-hmm. And that goes into a mindset of, okay, you don't have to change the world unless you choose to. Mm-hmm. If you want to go out there, you know, you don't have to start a podcast like we did. But if you want to take a dance class, if you want to learn to knit, if you want to start taking vacations with your spouse when this pandemic is over, you can start to do that. You can start to be a little selfish and put yourself first. It's not always a bad thing. So I would say what a lot of the experts have told us and explained to us, that there's a lot to look forward to. Mm-hmm. So start looking forward and not being stuck kind of in the past of my first, you know, I got married, I had a house, I had kids, I have the now. It's not what you're missing out on, it's what you still have to look forward to.
Right. It's looking at it without a sense of dread, but a sense of almost a sense of wonder, because there is so much. It is the middle of our life, like Colleen said. And I always say, if you're lucky enough to live this long, you're going to go through menopause, you're going to go through changes in your life, but it is a mindset. And just like Colleen said, that you bring to the show and all of the people that we've talked to. And I've learned so much, just the all of the ways to handle different things that come up in your life, whether it be finances, whether it be your health, exercise, whether it's your personal health. We've talked to a lot of gynecologists. Boy, have I learned a lot about me, about my body. But I think, who knew that when I turned 51, which was when we started this, that I would learn so much in the past year. I feel like I have taken, like, I should get some certification or something in midlife women because of this.
We want an award.
I want a tiara, but she wants an award. So.
Well, I will give you a tiara.
Oh, thank you.
You an award because you deserve it. The way you just said that it's a mindset is so important. And I love how you both have learned so much and grown yourselves. And Colleen, that vision of looking forward is exactly how I coach. It's why I do what I do. It's, you know, not having regrets or what used to be. It's like, where do I want to go? And so what am I going to do today in this moment that I have right now before me to use to get where I want to be, as opposed to worrying about the future and regretting things from the past or whatever it may be. And I love how you framed that we're only in midlife. You know, I talk to parents of adult children, and it's so funny because they kind of regret or are very sad that their children have grown and now they're in this new phase. But really, no matter how you look at your childhood, whether it's 18 years or 21 years, you're a parent to someone for 18 or 21 years. That's a small amount of time in comparison to the fact that you will be an adult parent for, it could be 50 years. And so that's a long time compared to the 18 years that you were a parent to a child. And so I love how you are kind of framing it as a mindset, and it's just where we are today. So I'd love to ask you guys if you each would tell me a little bit about your family life and how it was for you being a mom when your children were younger and you were working or stay at home, and then how it is now, if you guys want to just share that.
So I was a teacher, and I am from a really large family. I am the 11th of 12 children.
Oh my.
Same parents. Yeah. So 10 girls, 2 boys. So I had my children. I did not live near my family when they were really small. I lived about 7 hours away. I was working when my son was an infant. I worked part-time. I taught at a preschool. And when my daughter was born, I worked for maybe a year, or like, I think I took that 1 year off, then I worked for a little bit. Then we moved closer to my family. My father had already passed away, and I started teaching full-time again. And those days are such a blur. I mean, we were so busy. There was a lot of angst, energy, getting them ready to get to school, making sure they've done their work, doing my stuff for school, my husband's job. I remember I was trying to do it all myself. And it's not, I have a great husband. I didn't say, hey, I need you to step in. And I remember trying to get my daughter to daycare and then get my son with me to school. And I finally, it was just wearing me out, all this driving. And I finally was like, hey, is there any way you could take her to daycare? He's like, yeah, I can. And that made such a difference to that, just that little step. So I think those days were so harried. There's so many, like you have talked about on your show, there are times of regret, and I'm really trying to just move forward with that. And I think the kids, they're okay, you know, with that.
Even the best parents, I think,
yeah,
so the child is going to have something that they grew up with.
Right, was tough. Yeah. My son had more challenges than my daughter. He's ADHD. He has had just some different issues that were a little more challenging. And I feel like, you know, after talking and listening to your show, I'm like, ooh, the energy that I would get towards him, it just escalated back and forth. And I think it's just kind of organically happened where that isn't such an issue now.
Yes.
But when my daughter was a freshman in high school, my son was a senior, and he left for college. And things started to really like mentally get to me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've only got 3 more years left with a child at home. And I only taught 1 more year after that. And I think it's so funny that when we spoke to you and you talk about resentment, I was really resenting my job because I felt like my job was taking me away from her.
Yes.
And I just knew at that time, this has got to stop because I don't want that resentment to reflect on these students that I teach. That's not their fault that I'm going through this. So I faked it for that next year. And I loved my students. I really loved my students. I was so fed up with all the other things with school. So I decided to quit. And I stayed home with her for the next 2 years. So her sophomore year was my last year of teaching. So I had 2 more years with my daughter. And I don't regret that one bit. And then she went to college. And Colleen knows I really went through some empty nest. We moved the year she went to college. We moved to another state. So going through all that, I remember that was going to be a transition that I was nervous about because I wasn't going to be working. I didn't have children and I was very concerned about meeting people because in the past I'd met friends of my children's parents and people at work, but it all worked out because I moved near Colleen. So, that was a big thing. And then I really had struggled with empty nest. And one thing that this pandemic did was actually help me with that because both of my children came home for a while. And stayed with us for like 2 months. My son stayed for about 3 months. And then he went back. And my daughter went back. She lives in North Carolina. He lives in Los Angeles. And that kind of like healed me. Just having them for that time. It's like I got this other chance. My husband and I both would say, I can't believe we got this chance. We got this again. You know, they're in their 20s, but they got to be with us for that long. So that really healed me. I don't like what happened because, I'm so thrilled I got to be home. I don't like what happened to the rest of the world with it. So I feel better in my empty nesting now that all happened. And now, I'm moving on. I'm meeting fabulous people like you and Colleen. So Colleen, what about you?
I would say, I have 2 daughters. And at the time that, prior to having my kids, I was very focused on my career. I, went straight from college to law school, was working for a very large law firm doing litigation. Throughout the pregnancy, I was in court. I was taking depositions. I would run out to get throw up, come back in, the whole thing. And I had prepared to, get a nanny 3 days a week, go back to where I'd already been offered a part-time position. And I was ready to go. And then I had a very traumatic delivery with my oldest daughter. I had severe preeclampsia and I almost died giving birth to her. And it kind of shifted my focus. Number one, I kind of like that I lived through it. But also number two, there was some switch that went off when I gave birth. I have always heard of people saying, what is your purpose? Oh, I love my job. I have such a passion for it. Oh, I love what I do. And I never felt that way in the law. It just was not, I was not, my husband's a lawyer. He has a passion for it. I look at him like, I don't get it. So when it came time to go back to work, I really didn't want to. I was having so much fun with her. Mm-hmm. And, we made the conscious decision that I would stay at home until they went back to school. It was not an easy one. Obviously, financially, we had to, downsize and make sure we could afford to do what we wanted to do. But it was important. And we both agreed it was important. So I loved, not the lack of sleep, but I loved every minute of being home with them. Once they started school full time, I realized that there was something missing and something I wanted to do. I didn't want to go back to the practice of law, obviously. And I didn't want my daughters to see me doing something that I didn't have a passion for because they're watching. They watch from the day they're born. So I loved Pilates and decided to learn as much as I could, got certified in it, taught for all the way through high school for them, which was great because I could kind of make my own schedule. And during the high school years, my older daughter developed a severe eating disorder. And I spent most of my time during that time getting her to doctors, getting her into treatment plans. Her health was my number one priority. So my job was not my priority. And that type of job gave me the flexibility to do that. And then once she graduated and left for college, I had 2 more years with my other daughter, so it was like rolling right back into ACTs and SATs and all that stuff. Like, it was a blur. And I was so worried about being an empty nester, so worried about it. And She left and she hated the school she went to. So 3 months later, she came back and went to local school for a year. So my empty nesting was about 3 months. And I call it the revolving door. And then she left to go away to school. And my older daughter graduated and came back home. And now my younger, with the pandemic, they're all home, yes. Which again is a gift. It's not, I don't like the way it happened or why it happened, but I love the fact that they're here. And so that's why I was so interested in wanting to talk to you, because the dynamic when they come back as adults is so different. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you create that. My relationship with my children and my husband are the most important things in my world. So I want to make sure you can never do anything right. I always say they end up in therapy anyway. You do right. The best you can. They end up blaming you for everything.
Fabulous. Therapy is fabulous.
Yeah.
But they end up blaming their parents for something.
Right.
Yeah. But I want to know that I did everything I could to make it a good relationship. So that's kind of where we're at now. We're learning to, my daughter's going to get married next year. I love my future son-in-law. He's like a son to me. They went to high school. I've known him since I think he was 5. You know what I mean? So, known him forever. They're a good match. But now I'm learning as a parent to take a step back and say, okay, you guys have to work through these. If I hear you guys trying to discuss something, I can't give you my opinion unless you ask me for it.
Yeah.
Because you're now, you have to learn to be a couple. So it's kind of an interesting sociological experiment watching them do stuff that I normally wouldn't see because they normally wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I love both of your stories. And I have to say a thread of a theme that I hear from both of you really deeply is this self-awareness that you both have for what you need at various times in your life, whether it was to do with your career or your relationships. And I think that that must have served you both very, very well and your families well. So the one other thing that I think we all have in common is this almost stolen time we feel like the pandemic has given us with our adult children. And some of it, I don't think that there's much room in our lives for guilt, but I do have to say when I'm coaching younger moms, I feel a sense of guilt because I did get extra time with my kids who are adults and who can do their own learning online. Without my sitting right there next to them. So we played games and got closer and just had this terrific time together. I too would have been an empty nester this year. And I was very much like both of you, especially you, Bridget, I was wondering what that would look like. So I had made a commitment to really relish in all of the activities that my daughter was engaged in her senior year. And all these things I was looking so forward to, like in as far as graduation, that, sometimes with my older two, I was like, oh gosh, another party, or that I was not gonna say that. I was just gonna go and be really intentional and engaged. And all of that was taken away. Mm-hmm. And then she got to go away to school. And I cannot tell you how much I miss her, but every time those feelings come up, I really do shift to, okay, it's okay that you miss her, but thank God it's still working and she's still okay. So mm-hmm. It's been an interesting shift in the way we look at parenting. One thing I want to ask you both, Colleen, I feel like you are pretty set in the fact that you didn't continue on in your career as a lawyer. And Bridget, I think that you mentioned something that how it was almost just expected, and maybe you expected it of yourself to do all of the parenting duties along with your full-time job and how hard that was. So I'm wondering if you guys have any advice for younger working moms today. Colleen, especially in the law, like I do coach lawyers. I actually do a presentation for lawyers that counts as 1.5 credit hours for their CLE credit. Okay. And I find that it's so difficult as a full-time associate who's trying to make partner and as a mom. And do you have any suggestions for what we can do in the legal profession to change that so that lawyers who have degrees don't have to choose between being a mom and being a full-time lawyer. And then Bridget, I'm gonna then ask you some things that we can do to not take those expectations on ourselves. Mm-hmm. So Colleen, do you wanna take it?
You know, it's really important to find the right fit, I think, of law firms. Some law firm, you know, the firm that I worked for, they did offer me a job sharing, but it would have never been 3 days. It would have been 5 days. So there are so many, I think, now firms that understand parenting is a part of the career. So if there's flexibility, don't feel guilty taking advantage of it, because you are going to be more productive when you're there, if you're not worrying about your sick child or, you know, if they have daycare in your building, even better, because you can go down and have lunch with your child or, you know, take advantage of that stuff, really do the research. But there's so many resources now offered that we simply didn't have 20 years ago. It's okay to use your brain for other things. It's okay to be productive. I used to be so jealous of, you know, even my husband. I was like, you get to go to the bathroom by yourself and you get to have lunch and, you know, and it was almost like I missed those things, but not that I would have changed what I did, because I loved every moment, but don't feel guilty for it. It's okay, because your child's okay. They're not going to say to you, I remember when I was 8 months old and I didn't feel well and you weren't there. You know what I mean? They're not. It's your guilt you're putting on yourself.
Yes.
But if you can focus and you're then better. So take advantage of what the HR departments may have to offer. Some firms offer job sharing. I think those firms look at you, now that I have run my own law firms with my husband before, I would rather have somebody 3 days a week that is working full-time and fully focused than 5 days a week who is constantly on the phone with the daycare or their husband or their wife, worried about something. You know what I'm saying? When you're there, be there. Mm-hmm. But then it's okay to leave and let it go a little bit. You don't have to always take it home with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Colleen, I think you should run a law firm. You should just take that managing partner role and go and tell the HR what you just said and tell the, you know, young moms what you just said, because I couldn't agree with you more. I think that if you want retention and if you are serious about being equitable and giving as many partnerships out to women as you are to men, and to not giving it by telling the woman, be a man, act right. Like the man in order to do it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, not only act like the man, but prove yourself better, because you're going to have to work harder. And that's what I'm hearing, that, like, you know, men expect way less of themselves and other people expect less of them. And women always set the bar higher and expect more of themselves, and people expect more. And the same goes for even having children. Each child a woman has, she has less earning potential. The exact opposite is true for a man. Each child he has, he actually gains earning potential, wow, because we look at them as needing it, as right, being very, I don't know. They're elevated.
Somehow, yes. They're somehow, they need it more.
My yeah. dad should have been a billionaire.
Exactly.
Very true.
What did I say? Your mom should have been a billionaire.
My mom should have been true. A billionaire. Yeah.
That is true. Yeah. And there are a lot of women working and men staying home now. Yeah. So, you know, you never know who. I know back in my day, when I was an attorney, the attorney I worked for was a jerk. And he would have pictures on his wall of pregnant women with that non-smoking circle and an arrow through it. If they did that now, they would be sued.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. he didn't want his associates, who were predominantly women, because he figured out early, we work harder because we feel like we have more to prove. Mm-hmm. If I were my 25-year-old self again, oh, they wouldn't have been pretty. Because, you know, you just, I think you got away with a lot more back then.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. So, but I still think that we have a long way to go, to be honest
yes,
with you.
Yes, absolutely.
I do think that one thing you just said about the fact that men are stay-at-home dads, and I know some of them. I coach some of them. They're in my parent support groups, and they're just absolutely fabulous. But it's interesting, they're wives have had to choose to be fully engaged, like to the tune of 80 hours a week. So to me, I wish we could come to this integration that I speak a lot about, where you don't have to choose one or the other, that you can feel successful and not guilty because you're spending some quality time at home with your children. And then you bring that feeling of success to your workplace and get things done. And don't, you know, I worked at a law firm too, Colleen, and the young associates who all they did is pace. I watched them. I counted some guy from, like, I was working late one night from 6 o'clock to 10. He must have done 500 laps just to show FaceTime. And he wasn't doing anything. Why do we need those tricks? We don't need, you know, it's just so ridiculous. So let's recognize that most people want to work. They want to put in hard work, but they also want a family. So, you know, how do we integrate that and not put these, you know, stupid restraints on there?
That's so interesting to hear this talk. My daughter is a industrial designer, and she works for a firm in North Carolina where they're very open. They're very, you know, have been super during this whole pandemic. You know, she brought her computer home, was able to work. They've set her up with a great mentor who is fabulous. And her poor roommate works for an investment banker. And her poor roommate, it's like they take pride in just piling hours on them and making them feel horrible. And my husband's in finance, and I can remember we were engaged when he was graduating college and looking for jobs. And he just said, I'm staying away from investment banking. They take pride in wearing their new employees out, you know. And so it is so interesting because she just said, you know, I feel terrible because she is, you know, sometimes in tears and stuck in the apartment all day. And I, you know, my group, you know, hey, we're online having a happy hour and we're whatever. And yeah, so there is, I wish there was a way to shift that to, you're going to get more out of people if they are happier working for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking to companies about that. You know, if we're willing to get involved in their smoking cessation, if we're willing to get in their weight reduction, I believe that their family, I mean, what is more important? Your career and your family. Those are the two most important things. And I like to say that unless you're, you know, coming up with a cure to COVID or cancer, what you do with your family, because we just talked about that, is going to last a lot longer because it's going to be passed around from generations to come, right? Your daughter's going to do some of the same things that you've done. Maybe she'll evolve a little bit, but a lot of that thread will still be there. So some progressive companies are talking to me about the whole person and how to do this integration. And they're really smarter. And it's really going to affect their bottom line more. I find that sometimes, not all, but some investment banking firms, some law firms try to have this frat mentality. Like, you know, what is that called when they're hazing them? Like, you know, I had to work 80 hours.
Yes.
And, you know, so you're going to have to go through the same thing I did, or I had a baby and, you know, well, maybe your mother-in-law lived with you. You know, you have to look at each person's situation as being different. And, you know, hazing, we've learned, isn't so good. We've learned it from the frat. It's not so good for a person to work 80 hours a week and be in tears. You won't, they can't think as straight as your daughter who actually got to have a happy hour. I mean, that's what I'm advocating for, but I believe it fervently. I don't think it's lip service. I've seen it. I've seen the productivity rates go up, and as far as Bridget, the men and culture changing, how much we just have this patriarchal view that even today, my daughter was a senior last year. I was one of six adults. I think it was three or four couples who did senior treat, and only the moms were emailed. I mean, this is 2020, and I know that all the moms worked full time. Okay.
Wow.
And so why not email the men too? You know, it was, and it sounds so silly, but I'm saying it's just an example of some of that culture that the women are responsible for so much. And so law firms, some law firms are now requiring that there's parental leave and that the dads take the paternity leave for 8 weeks. And wow, believe me, those older partners are not pleased by it. They're right. very upset.
I can imagine they're not happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, but HR is making it mandatory. And I can't tell you how thankful I am. In fact, France just added, I think their paternity leave has to be 24 weeks. Wow. And so do you see how this starts this eroding this cultural view that you have to be the one, Bridget, that takes the kids to daycare and drops them off, even though it was killing you.
It was killing me. Yeah. And it's so interesting when you talk about, you know, you talk about law, even teachers are so put upon, you know, you think that, oh, but you have the same hours as your kid. Oh, you are looked down upon. If you leave school, the moment you can leave school, oh no, you are like, oh, but she doesn't really care. She's not staying these times that they stay. You're asked to put in many more hours than you are paid. You know, you are on phone calls, you are grading at home, you are making new lesson plans and you aren't paid. You know, you have a planning time, but then they call a meeting to your planning time. So you don't have a lunch hour. You have a lunch 20 minutes, get to the bathroom, answer a phone call, whatever like that. So that was my resent was in. So it not only was it taking away from my daughter, that part I could handle. It was the other expectations. Well, of course you're going to drive to each student's home, which they asked us to before school started, and drive to their houses and meet every student in your class's family. In rural Kentucky, all over the place. And, you know, things like that were resentful. Oh, you'll get a stipend of $25 an hour, but we can only pay you for three of those hours. That is the truth. And it took 6 hours to do the stuff. Oh. That's what happens to teachers. They are put upon and put upon. That's a whole nother interview.
Yeah. But
that led to my resentment. So that piled on resentment of taking away time from my children. I wouldn't mind have minded, I think, if I felt I was being paid fairly for my time, but I did not feel like it.
Not at all. You're not making what an investment banker makes for there's nothing more important than educating.
Right. And they're still put upon. They're still, I mean, oh my goodness, the teachers today having to deal with doing the both online and the classroom. Mm-hmm. It's like double plans. It is really insane. And just, I wish parents always felt like, and now I'm going on my teacher soapbox, but I really felt like any lawmaker that was making a decision about my job or any parent that was complaining, then perhaps you should come and spend a day in this classroom without me. Like I leave and you go ahead and you try it, especially the lawmakers, I felt like. Those were the ones. But anyway, so that was some resentment. But I feel like with when you were asking about how I felt, so, you know, that I had to do everything. Well, for me, it was just a simple ask of my husband. Sure. Now, sometimes I couldn't do that because he had to travel, you know, not all the time. When my son was young, he was an auditor. So he was gone 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks out of every month, definitely 2 weeks. Every once in a while, he would have like an overseas audit, and it would be 3 weeks, just me and my little boy, you know, just the two of us in a town away, 7 hours away from the nearest family.
Wow.
And that was really hard. You know, just to do, I had no help. Yeah. When I did teach at the preschool, I had a daycare for him, but my in-laws didn't come in. My parents were quite a bit older than me. They didn't come in. None of my siblings all had children, so it's not like they could come in and help. So it was just me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is a matter of asking for help, but there are times where my husband wasn't there.
Yeah. No, and I understand that. So it's what I'm trying to get society to do, though, Bridget, is who's to say that you need to ask your husband?
He should have asked.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, yeah. Do you mind driving the kids? So that's where I want us to go. And I believe that it could start with corporate America. They really do shape culture, and I'm asking them and begging them to not, you know, have us, because of COVID, take away all the gains that we've had for women, even since you know, the three of us were in our young 20s. Mm-hmm. Because we don't need to lose all those women in the workforce right now. We have seen that having that varying opinion at the table makes a difference. Bridget, to your point, if all the lawmakers are men and have never been teachers and mothers, they will not know what the laws should be. So we need all voices at the table. And I believe it starts a lot with corporate America. So, you know, I really appreciate you guys, all your wisdom, all your sharing. I think that people can learn so much if they go to your podcast and learn. And I love that you guys say it's not just necessarily for 45 and 70 year olds, right? Because I'm even talking about things that younger women can learn, right, from all your wisdom and all the stuff that you guys are talking about. So I think people should subscribe to Hot Flashes, Cool Topics, listen to as many of your podcasts as possible. And hopefully they've learned something from you guys, Colleen and Bridget. What other ways can they reach out to you, or what other ways do you like to interact with your listeners?
We always love getting ideas for topics of the show. And so people can email us at hotflashescooltopics@gmail.com. We have a great Facebook group, which is Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. And we have a YouTube channel, which they can go and watch our videos. If you go on the website, which is hotflashescooltopics.com, they can also contact us there. But the podcast is on, it's weekly on Wednesdays. And you can really find us on all podcast platforms to subscribe, because you just never know what we're going to talk about from week to week.
Yeah.
We like to keep people on their toes, yes, and yes, we're definitely not predictable. Mm-hmm. Because women, you know, women our age aren't. We talk about primetime women in midlife and beyond. So you never know what you're going to get.
Right. And look, I mean, even Bridget said she learned stuff about her own body that she never knew at her age. So it would help to hear some of that stuff, mm-hmm, that we, you know, that the information that we could use to continue to grow, as you two have been such a great example of doing. Well, so thank you so much.
For being Thanks here. For having us.
It was our pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mindfulness at Work. If you felt inspired by our conversation, we hope you'll share our podcast with your friends and colleagues.